from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Jeremy White with Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
Does anybody else out there want to do something like that? What do we need to settle?
Jeremy White.
When you were a kid and you were going to get sick, like you might throw up, did your family use the same bowl? You go to bed, you bring the bowl there in case you're going to throw up. Was that the same bowl as the family movie popcorn bowl?
With Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
The same bowl that you are eating popcorn out of has been thrown up into.
The sick bowl. It's just a bowl. You just wash it. It's just a bowl.
The mental damage alone should be there that, hey, some, you know, little, whatever, your little brother or sister just threw up in this last week. Now I'm eating popcorn out
of it. Why do we have a dishwasher?
So on Monday, popcorn. On Tuesday, throw up. And on Wednesday, dog food.
No, I see no issue with it.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, good morning. Oh, training camp week. Later in the week, we'll be doing this show from outside. Very much looking forward to just that in general. Doing this show from outside, anywhere outside, really, but I'm overlooking two football fields. Really, it's only, I think, our setup. You have the one auxiliary field on the right. You have the stands on the left. So we can't see the field that you're practicing from, but the Bills will be practicing on the field that it's after the show anyway. So get a look at practice a little bit later in the week. Cannot wait. We'll be down at St. John Fisher on Wednesday. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Jeremy off until later in the week. And yeah, it's training camp week. Lot to get to today on the show. Open Championship wrapping up yesterday. Brian Koziol will be on at 7:30. Nate Geary will join the show coming up at 7 as well. We'll get in on some camp stuff. It is, heat. Middle of the amateur, golf scene locally and maybe nationally too. I know Nate had a member guest tournament this weekend. I had a member guest tournament this weekend down with the guys at Tri-County Country Club. And that was a ton of fun. They don't tell you about those things that... Yeah, it's competitive, but everybody there is just great time, marathon, beginning to end, like drinks and cigars and just what a weekend. Super fun. Weather turned out perfectly, mid-70s. So, yeah. Is anyone else like this where if you do something competitive like that, even if it's not like the most competitive thing in the world, but, it's a golf tournament that you're in, that happens every year, and you do below your expectation, and now the moment that that's over, it's okay, just already thinking about next year, already feeling motivated to, can I just spend the whole winter going to the dome once a day and just practicing chipping? Can I just go to the simulator three times a week in the winter and get away with it? How much work do I need to put in to not only do well, how much work do I need to do to put in to win these things? Is the way my mind starts working. I don't know that I'll actually do it. I'll think about doing it, and then maybe I'll do it. It happens that way sometimes. So, a lot of fun this week. Hope you got some golfing because the weather was beautiful, or at least did something outside, walking, hiking, running, and the weather was awesome in the mid-70s. Joe DiBiase, Nick Geary will be in a little bit. Training camp week coming up on Wednesday. St. John Fisher. Rookies already reported, but that was more to One Bills Drive rather than doing anything on the field at St. John Fisher. Of course, nothing on that front just yet. And I don't know what kind of feeling we're going to have when fans arrive on Wednesday. I had a couple of friends at this tournament over the weekend that are going to camp on Wednesday. And, I mean, they, of course, seem very excited. Like, all right, let's go. Start of the season, start of football. You get to see Josh Allen on the field. That's always fun. In any context, see him do something. I'm sure that it'll be worth your while you're out there. And, like, we're talking about, like, okay, yeah, we're going to be at camp on Wednesday. And there have been years in the past. Really, this was training camp 2022. Where Von Miller had just signed and the Bills had just lost the previous year, the 13 seconds game, where we all kind of thought at that point in time, that was previous to a home Bengals playoff loss, so you might have felt a little more confident in said opinion, but you probably or might have thought that we just had a Super Bowl robbed from us. That it was the Bills' own doing, but you might have felt like the Bills were the best team in the league, and that the Bills should have won the Super Bowl, and it was stolen by game management, time management decisions at the end of the game, and it was stolen by a rock star quarterback and Hall of Fame coach on the other side that were able to match you toe-to-toe, unlike anybody else in the league is probably able to match you toe-to-toe. And you still probably feel like you should have won. You took the lead with 13 seconds to go. So that game had just happened. But you, with that loss, part of the reason it was so frustrating is you did it. It was proof that not only can Josh Allen win that game for you, but it was proof, oh, you can beat the Chiefs. Just don't mess it up at the end. But we now see the evidence. You can beat Kansas City. Then they go out and they sign Von Miller. They go sign the Whale free agent of the summer, $100 million contract. He just won a Super Bowl with the Rams that spring. He's an all-time great. He's going to be maybe a first ballot Hall of Famer. If not, that's certainly going to be in the Hall of Fame. He was coming off a very good year, 9.5 sacks. Like, all right. And that was with a trade in the middle of the season. So he would have missed a game or two because of that deal. And it was let's go. Von Miller's on the team. And everyone was picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl. There's a graphic out there. I could probably find it. I think Rich Eisen is one of the pundits on it. So maybe it was an NFL Network show. There was a show where, you know, they're doing their Super Bowl predictions. And this would have been before the season, so it's for the whole league. You could pick any team in the league you want. And there's 5-6 people up on the stage picking. And again, I think Rich Eisen was one of them. So it was probably the NFL Network guys. If Rich Eisen would have still been there 2 years ago at NFL Network, maybe it would have been the Rich Eisen show. I don't know. But there's a graphic with, all five picked the Bills. You could pick any team in the league. You could pick the Chiefs. You could pick the Bengals. You could pick the Rams to repeat. You could pick anybody. And who did they have winning the whole thing? They all had the Bills. They were the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. It almost felt like you looked idiotic if you didn't pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl, or to at least go to the Super Bowl, because it just felt like it was all lining up. And then camp arrived with all of that. The context of how the season ended just previously, how everybody was talking them up, how the odds said they were the favorite, how anyone that had a microphone was saying they were the best team in the league or one of the best teams in the league at the very least. Almost felt like it was an insult if you said, oh, one of the best teams in the league. No. Hey, I got 1,000 people over here that say they're the best. So, come on. And then camp arrived and fans showed up and it felt like, oh, everyone's in a good mood. And it's, you know, I remember comparing it to like the Beatles. It's like, oh, we're going to see the best band. You're going to get exactly what you want to see. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's in a great mood. And that'll be the same case this year. But there was just an energy that I felt when I went to camp 2 years ago. And the feeling around the team is very different now, I think, than at least then. Maybe not from last year. Because last year you had then had baked in the disappointment of the year before, and now Vaughn, who was kind of the source of a lot of that energy from the year prior, he was injured, so you weren't even going to see him on the field at camp. So, you know, the letdown a little bit. There was the Diggs drama from why didn't he show up at minicamp, and you know, we haven't heard him talk yet. So when we get there at camp, it's what are we going to get? So there was just some questions last year. But 2 years ago was, let's go win the freaking Super Bowl. And that was all of it. That was all of it. Nothing could go wrong that training camp 2 years ago. And this year, I have no idea what the atmosphere will be like. I know it'll be full. I know it'll be, of course, you know, loud, and you know, you'll get your Allen ovations and everything. You'll get your, when people are lining up for autographs, you know, they'll be super happy to be there. But what's the vibe going to be? What's the vibe going to be? Is the vibe going to be super positive? Is it going to be all in, same thing, let's go win the Super Bowl? Or is it they're going to be more of a reasonable expectation from fans? Again, that's something that, you know, what's a reasonable expectation mean? Hey, let's win the division and then see from there. I don't know what that even means. That's not something you would specifically feel or see when you get to training camp. But I wonder what kind of energy we're going to get at camp. You know, what kind of attitude. Not to say that it would be poor, but again, there was a different feeling in the air 2 years ago that I just don't think was replicated last year when fans arrived to camp, when the Bills showed up on the field at St. John Fisher. And I don't know what we're going to get this year. There is, it's an interesting season, and maybe the most interesting season they've had with Josh Allen. Can I even try to make the argument that it's a more interesting season than when he was a rookie? I mean, of course, there's the curiosity of, well, we haven't seen the guy play. First round pick. Everyone, you know, either loves him or hates him. Right? I got one guy over here at Football Outsiders calling him a parody of a prospect. I've got Mel Kiper here on the other side calling him the best player in the draft. Just you got voices on both sides saying, hey, this guy is either the best prospect you've ever seen or he's the worst prospect you've ever seen. So, okay, rookie year is, what in the world are we going to get? But in terms of their ability to win, no one was thinking about that in 2018. Nobody was thinking about that even really in 2019. No one was thinking about the Super Bowl. You might have been thinking about your quarterback becoming talented and then, or becoming good, and then that will lead to a Super Bowl or winning in the playoffs. But we were, it felt, that still felt miles away, especially if you were someone, a Bills fan of my age, who had never seen their team compete like that for an extended period of years, or really at all. Then you start living that life, and every year going in, every time you show up at camp for the first time, it's, I wonder if this is going to be the year. And feeling, you might feel reasonably confident about that, showing up. Like, okay, here we go. This is going to be the year. And I don't know what percentage of people are going to feel like that could be this season. Oh yeah, this could be the year. We've talked repeatedly about what they are at wide receiver and some of their shifting around on the offensive line and the veteran players that have meant so much to the team that are now gone. It's the first camp in, I mean, since Rex Ryan was the head coach, that you're not going to see Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White. I mean, those three especially have been faces of the team around Josh Allen. You know, whenever they put out the either the poster for the team or the season ticket, you know, package, and they show they show like six players or five players on the graphic. And Allen, the quarterback, he'll always be the center of it. And then who's right around him? Well, for the Bills, it's been often Poyer, Hyde, White. Those three meaning so much, being fan favorites, all three players beloved. By the way, I do know, recognize that as I make this point, that it's not impossible that Micah Hyde would rejoin the Bills. But we haven't talked about that in months, maybe. And it just, there doesn't seem to be any momentum or whispers or anything about that actually happening. So that's not dead, I guess. It still could happen. I'm not holding my breath at all that he's going to join the Bills or play for them, especially before the year. You get injuries middle of the year, maybe Hyde can come back. But not holding my breath at this point in time. Poyer is a Dolphin. Tre'Davious White's a Ram. Wow, right? Those three here for so long. If the Wall of Fame were to continue into the next stadium, like, those three are all going on the Wall of Fame. So they're all gone. Players that have meant so much. Morse is a player that has meant so much. And, you know, Gabe Davis too. Of course, Diggs and Gabe Davis. Like, and that's kind of separated from the point here for me, because they are crucially important to replace, and I don't know if they have done that. I would want to bet against they haven't, but that's another layer of this. If you are to show up to camp and wonder, okay, is this the year? I am never getting to, well, they don't have Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White. They don't have Mitch Morse, if you want to, but really more it's the three guys in the secondary who have been critical for 7 years now. I'm never getting to their departure as the reason that the Bills can't win this year. I know they mean a lot, and I know that it's going to feel different without them on the field. They're mainstays. There's almost a comfort level when they're out there because they're so solid, like, okay, these guys got it. But, you know, this is why defensively, I'm very much thinking the Bills still could have even a top five unit at its peak, and I still would want to bet this defensive unit this year is going to be in the top 10. Because, you know, who did they really lose that was a great player for them last year? Because what I saw was, once Rasul Douglas joined the team midway through the year, the trade deadline, and once he started to get in the rotation regularly, they were a great defense from there on out. They played some top teams and for the most part held everyone in check at worst up until they didn't have their linebackers against Kansas City. Once Douglas shows up, look at the games that he is on the field for the Bills. They go play the Bengals. So that's his first game, Sunday Night Football. And that was a game that I remember thinking or remember reacting to the next day that, oh my gosh, the Bengals could have done whatever they wanted. You know, they moved, it was kind of like the playoff game. They moved up and down the field at will, and they were able to move the ball whenever they threw the ball. They were able to run the ball on you. But they had 3 points in the second half. The Bills were down 11 early on in the third quarter, and their defense held the Bengals to 3 points the rest of the way. If you look at the drive charts from that game, and this is the first game Douglas played, he played 60% of the snaps. Like, he kind of went right in. And if you look at that depth chart for the Bengals, they put some long drives together, but the Bills stopped them on a 4th and 5 in the third quarter. The Bills stopped them on a 1st and 10 from the 43 right before they were about to get in field goal range. They held them up there. That was very much the bend but don't break, right? The Bengals moved the ball to around midfield like 3 times, and the Bills stopped them right then and there all 3 times, 2 of which were on 4th down stops, by the way, that they stopped the Bengals. So 24 points from the Cincinnati Bengals. All right. Then what's after that for Douglas? Then there's the Denver game. Okay, not their finest hour, right? 24 points allowed. Not a ton, but that Denver team, you shouldn't have been allowing 24 points to. Then, 6 points against the Jets. Zach Wilson, you should have done that. They held Kansas City to 17 in the regular season. They held Dallas to 10 and turned the ball over in that game. They held Miami, and these are like some of the top teams they played. Miami, in the final game of the regular season, needing it for the division. And they went on the road, that the Bills defense last year went on the road against an offense that had statistically been one of the best all year. Their quarterback led the league in passing going into that game and coming out of that game. And they scored 14 points. 14 points in that game. The Bills held Tua in that final regular season game to 17 completions for 173 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 picks. Pretty good. They went from DVOA numbers, back this up. Like, really, once Douglas got there, they returned to top 10 defensive form. And part of that was by DVOA, actually. That was the number on this that Aaron Schatz's guys have had at FTN Fantasy, that Douglas was either the best or one of the best corners in football from the time he joined the Bills on last season. He was incredible. He gave you number one corner production. You'll miss Tre'Davious White's personality. You'll miss his what he means to the Bills, of course. But are the Bills going to miss Tre'Davious White on the field? With Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford, my answer to that question is no. They are not. And to be fair, they haven't really had him on the field at all in the last 2.5 years anyway. So they've kind of had to live life without him already. They already know what it's like to live life without him. And then Poyer and Hyde, who have been pretty healthy given 7 years. Like, Hyde missed a year and Poyer missed a game or two here and there. But those two for 7 years, you know, we're talking about a combined, what are we talking about? A combined 200 games that they missed 16 of, 17 of, 18 of, not many. Last year, okay, they're out there, and Poyer is getting bumped down and filling a role at linebacker on passing downs because they were missing Matt Milano, and he did pretty well in that role. But what did they really have last year in Poyer and Hyde? I mean, they were not playing at their elite all-pro level anymore than they once were. They are good players, fine players if you want, but irreplaceable? No. Taylor Rapp coming back and Mike Edwards in a second-round rookie Cole Bishop, like I tend to think the Bills are going to do just fine replacing the level of play their safeties gave them last year, and maybe because you've got a kid there in a second-round rookie that we don't know how good he's going to be, there's a chance to even be better. I tend to think they're not going to miss Poyer. They're not going to miss Hyde. They're not going to miss White on the field this season. And then you get Matt Milano back. You get Terrell Bernard back. I know there's some big questions at edge, but that defense, I'm thinking that defense is going to be a good unit again. I've got no huge questions about it outside of course, who's going to rush the passer. But also, you know, kind of like, hey, they've had to live life without Tre'Davious White for 2.5 years. They've had to live life without a top pass rusher for basically the entire time Sean McDermott's been here, other than 8 games and Von Miller was healthy when he first got here. So defensively, like, I have confidence. And receiver, we're going to belabor and we're going to microanalyze it. The second camp arrives, and for good reason. That's the spot. If they can just get lucky with Coleman or get lucky with MVS or Claypool or maybe Curtis Samuel takes a huge step forward, whatever it is. If they get lucky at that position, then I'm thinking there's no reason to think this is not a team that could win the Super Bowl just as much as these past teams have in the past 3 years. If they can show any semblance of weaponry, if they can show, if Joe Brady can show he's got what it takes, a coordinator, then I think they've got what it takes to be thinking Super Bowl again. Because I've got no questions about the quarterback. I don't have huge questions about their offensive line. And defensively, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like they are going to stop teams this year. At least in the regular season. Playoffs, whole different story. Because that's kind of been the case with them for the last couple of years. But in terms of the regular season, when they're trying to win the division for what it'll be, a 6 year in a row, I'm expecting their defense to show up and be a top unit in the league again this year. And that's kind of my vibe on the defense going into training camp. Again, offense, very different when we get there on Wednesday. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jody Biasi. Nate Geary will be in coming up at 7 o'clock. The Open Championship. Want to talk some Open Championship when we get back. Also, Brian Koziol will join us for more on that coming up at 7:30. Your phone calls, 803-0550 is the phone number. What are you feeling best about the Bills with right now? Like, to me, I'm feeling perfectly comfortable with their defense. Let me know what you think. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary coming in at about 7. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's an honor. I've always dreamt of doing it. That walk up 18 truly is the coolest, with the yellow leaderboards and the fans and the standing ovation. It really is the coolest, one of the coolest feelings I've ever had in my life. I got chills walking down and quickly had to zap myself back into focus because the tournament wasn't over yet. So, you know, I can't wait to enjoy this with my family.
Xander Schauffele, second major of the year. I'm glad he ended up winning. That tournament is ripe with guys you've never heard of before. Is golf the only sport like this where you are watching a major and as the weekend's going on, you're looking at the leaderboard and at different times, who was the leader? Daniel Brown, 270th in the world from England. Okay. Thurston Lawrence, 98th in the world from South Africa. Okay, like you get these no-name, probably guys with great stories. I don't know. I didn't see that part, if they were even told those stories. But two underdogs. And who are we rooting for? Schauffele. Scheffler. Right? The guys we've heard of? Is golf the only sport like that? Where we'll root for the favorites over the underdogs? Because the nature of the sports fan is that you'll always get sucked into who's the underdog. That's who I want to be rooting for.
I think if you're at the tournament, you want to root for the underdog.
Why would it be different?
I don't know. I mean, I felt like I think that it's like just kind of cool when you see just an unknown and you're just seeing them like play on the final, play like in a chance to win. You know more about golf than I do. Maybe I don't pay too much attention to golf as much.
I think it is always been in golf that the gallery, right? Maybe this is part of it too. Actually, at the tournament, who are you following? Like Daniel Brown hit a shot this week because he's, what, two holes behind Scheffler and Schauffele. Daniel Brown, who again was like 270th in the world, so you know fans wouldn't have thought to even follow him in the first place. He hit one of his shots to within like 5 feet on maybe it was a par three, and they showed the replay on TV, and there was nobody there. There was nobody in his gallery. Nobody saw the shot actually, except the people that were on TV, which was funny. Not like in a mean spirited way towards him, but Brown and Lawrence and whoever, like. Is this Tiger? Did Tiger do this? Because Tiger was the favorite and every tournament for 10 years, maybe, and we still root for him, right? Like, he is Brady. He's Saban. He's Mayweather. He's the Warriors. Who do you want? Like, the dynasties of the last 10 years. How come golf is different? How come golf is different? Every other sport, the Chiefs. I don't get to the Chiefs last on that list. How come you watch teams and even, I guess maybe it's an individual sport thing, because you watch teams in other sports win and then win again and then win again and then again. It's, all right, I'm sick of these guys. I'm sick of Alabama. I'm sick of the Chiefs. I'm sick of the Patriots. I'm sick of the Warriors. That's the one I never got sick of. I'm sick of the lightning. Golf. Oh, Tiger? Let's go. Do it again. Cue the Tiger gif on Twitter of just the Tigers coming at you one after the other after the other. Engage Tiger mode. Let's go. We're all in. It maybe must be an individual sport thing, because tennis is probably the same way too, right? When Serena Williams is in a Wimbledon final, you know, for the countless times that she was, people are rooting for Serena, I think. So maybe it's an individual sport thing, because golf is very different in that, like, you know, there's all these different underdogs out there and nobody's rooting for them. Unless you bet them, I guess, which I did not. I like that Schauffele wins, though. Schauffele winning kind of can create, I'm sure, the if you want a sports debate show topic for golf today, I don't know that they'll do this, because I know golf doesn't rate in the same way as football or basketball for this, but who had a better season, Schauffele or Scheffler? Because Scheffler got a major and six wins on top of it, but two majors, right? Two majors for Schauffele. When that was really his thing, by the way. He was the guy that he couldn't win the big one, couldn't win the major. He had all these wins, and he was number two in the world for a while. I don't know, maybe even is right now. And he had finished second in majors, third in majors, but he hadn't won yet. And then this year, wins the PGA Championship, wins the Open Championship, and here we go. Xander Schauffele right up there, going to be one of the top favorites every major going forward. One of them. He was lights out on the back nine yesterday. I mean, he made a run. He made a run, sticking everything within 5 to 10 feet, making all the putts. You know, his scorecard yesterday, having, by the way, you know, you want like an ice in the veins type of feeling in sports. I mean, this guy yesterday, Schauffele, was 65, I believe, was his final score. Best of the tournament. He was even through five. And then from hole 6 to hole 16, that's a 10-hole stretch, he had six birdies. And he just took the tournament over.
Went bogey-free the last round.
Bogey-free the last round, yep. Six birdies from hole 6 to 16. Parred the last two when he was up anyway. So, great season by him. And I like seeing that, again, it's golf. Maybe it's different than other sports where, hey, underdog won. Cool, I might have forgotten about that. Versus someone that we all know wins. You want the legacy build. And Schauffele might be on his way to, well, we'll see. We'll see. Very early on in his career. Two majors this year for Xander Schauffele. So, love the Open Championship. By the way, I figured out this year was maybe the first year I didn't ever even hesitate to call it the Open Championship. I was one of the late holdouts. Like, I'd still call it the British Open all the way through. And this year, I didn't even, like, last year, or maybe the year before, I'm like, okay, I probably should call this the Open Championship, because it's called the Open Championship. They're going to be going forward with that. It's played in Ireland now sometimes, although it depends. If it's Northern Ireland, then it is part of the United Kingdom, but it's not part of Great Britain. So anyways, you know, there's geographical technicality there, stuff there, but, you know, a couple years ago, it's like, all right, I'll start calling it the Open Championship. I'll stop calling it the British Open. But I would still think to call it the British Open. This year, not once. Never tripped up. Not one time. It's, nope, this is the Open Championship from here on out. I wonder how many people are still calling it the British. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's training camp week. Howard Simon's got an article on our website at WGR550.com along the same lines that I opened the show with. Like, do we have to be lowering expectations for the Bills this season? And I am just not sold that expectations need to be lowered or should be lowered. Howard's got some words up on that on our website. We'll get into that with Nate a little bit coming up at 7. Then we'll have Brian Koziel coming up at 7:30. Training camp Wednesday. Camps are already underway. The Chiefs and the Ravens are already at camp. I actually meant to look. I've got my my sleeper notifications turned on for all my fantasy teams. And if you have a player on one of your fantasy teams and there's like an injury update or news update, then you'll get a notification, but only for your own players. So yesterday, I get a sleeper notification. Lamar Jackson's health status has changed from healthy to questionable. And I meant to look at what that was. I don't even know. I'm like, that can't be anything, right? That's got to be like a, he was a limited practice guy at training camp. It can't be serious, I'm sure. I would see more about it if it was serious. And then the other thing I saw is that Kadarius Toney, who is the failed number one Chiefs receiver, first round pick for the Giants, of course, was offsides last year on the Kelce lateral to Kadarius Toney that would have won them the game against the Bills. Toney is playing running back now. At least at the beginning of camp, the Chiefs have him at running back. And that is a player I have always been infatuated with because I love the athleticism. The ability to make people miss in space, the quickness, the bend. Like, Toney has some real talent, and the dude just cannot keep his head on straight at all. To a point where I think he's an incredible athlete, and he is quite literally a net negative when he's on the field for you. They lost two games last year solely because of him. The opener against the Lions, he had two drops that went into opponents' hands, one of which was a pick six. And then the Bills game, they lost because he wasn't focused on where he was lined up. That dude loses you football games. And, man, good thing. Good thing, because the talent level there, I think, is pretty high. Maybe he'll be able to play running back. We'll see. 803-0550 is the phone number. Nate will join coming up at 7. Brian Kozio at 7:30. Give us a call. Should we be lowering expectations for the Bills this year? It's been Super Bowl or bust. Is this year different? Is it no longer Super Bowl or bust? Let us know what you think at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Cyrus Torrence. As a rookie coming in, play every single snap and not even flinch. That's pretty impressive. I remember my rookie year, I was, like I said, flying by the seat of my pants, just trying to hold on to it every week, and he seems like the most laid back, like not too worked up about the situation or anything like that. In 10 years, I think Cyrus is going to be multiple Pro Bowler, all pro kind of guy. He's heavy as hell. I mean, I don't think we went backwards one time on our double teams. I think he's going to be a really, really good player and play with him for a long time.
That is Spencer Brown on Eric Wood's podcast. Osiris Torrence, all right, multi-time Pro Bowler. He started, did he not play every snap as a rookie? I mentioned that kind of in passing last segment. I don't really have major questions about their offensive line. I have one question about their offensive line, but I don't really consider it to be a major question. It's just, can Connor McGovern play center? And he's seemingly adamant that he can. And the Bills were so quick to say, oh, he's moving to center, and never really, I don't think, wavered from that, unless you consider them picking a fifth-round center wavering from that, but I don't. It all signs point to they think he can do it, and they are pretty sure he can do it. I don't have any reason to doubt them. My thought would just be, you don't know until you see it. He's kind of a rookie, in a way. Like, sure, he's grew up playing center, and he did it in college, but he hasn't done it since college. He is not really. You look at his snaps per position in the NFL. We're talking like not many snaps at center in the NFL for Connor McGovern. Like, he really has not done it. So again, I'm not thinking he can't. Just believe it when I say. It's like when And actually, I was someone that banged the drum when, you know, he was still a Saber for Sam Reinhart playing center. And my point on that was always, listen, I know he hasn't done it in the NHL, but this dude grew up playing center and did it in juniors, was drafted as a center, and then you put him on the wing, just never looked back, but he played center his whole life. Like, why not give it a shot? That's a hockey center. So this one, kind of the same thing. Like, I no doubt McGovern can do it. I'm just not ready to write it in ink until you actually see him do it in the NFL. 803-0550 is the number. Although, like I said, that's not a major question for me. Otherwise, offensive line, I feel pretty good. Don't we feel pretty good about where the Bills are? Last year it was, who's the right guard? Is Torrence ready to play right away? And is Spencer Brown still a major problem like he was the year before? And then Spencer Brown took a big step forward, and Torrence looked fine as a rookie, and McGovern was good. Dawkins had his best year. So, and David Edwards, like, left guard, like, I, you know, not that worried about it in the first place. And the dude was a starter in a Super Bowl team a couple years ago. I'm not that worried about it. His PFF grade was through the roof last year, if you care about that. So, offensive line, I feel as comfortable with the Bills as I've almost ever been. Maybe other than last year. Last year, when the same line with Morse, you would have felt a little more comfortable with, but it's not that far off for me. Timeout here. When we come back, Nate Geary will join the show. We'll have Joe Marino coming up at 8 o'clock, it sounds like, as well. I was trying to get Joe on, preview some training camp. We were going to have him tomorrow, but I think we might move that up to today. So 8 o'clock for Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, confirming that now. Brian Koziol coming up at 7:30 on the Open Championship. The golf season's not wrapped up, though, because we now get golf at the Summer Olympics. So the Olympic golf coming up later this month. Not that far away either, because the Olympic ceremonies...
Opening ceremonies, I think, are Friday.
Thank you. Yeah, Friday. Friday at 1:30. This week we get Olympic opening ceremonies, and then I'm sure the golf will start soon after that. So we'll let you know the details about that when Brian's going to show in about a half hour. Nate as well. Stay tuned. We'll have a fun show. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to join in on. This is WGR.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Cyrus Torrence. As a rookie coming in, play every single snap and not even flinch. That's pretty impressive. I remember my rookie year, I was, like I said, flying by the seat of my pants, just trying to hold on to it every week. And he seems like the most laid back, like not too worked up about the situation or anything like that. In 10 years, I think Cyrus is going to be multiple Pro Bowl or All-Pro kind of guy. He's heavy as hell. I mean, I don't think we went backwards one time on our double teams. I think he's going to be a really, really good player and play with him for a long time.
That is Spencer Brown on Eric Wood's podcast. Osiris Torrence, all right, multi-time Pro Bowler. He started, did he not play every snap as a rookie? I mentioned that kind of in passing last segment. I don't really have major questions about their offensive line. I have one question about their offensive line, but I don't really consider it to be a major question. It's just, can Connor McGovern play center? And he's seemingly adamant that he can. And the Bills were so quick to say, oh, he's moving to center, and never really, I don't think, wavered from that. Unless you consider them picking a fifth-round center wavering from that, but I don't. It all signs point to they think he can do it, and they're pretty sure he can do it. I don't have any reason to doubt them. My thought would just be, you don't know until you see it. He's kind of a rookie, in a way. Like, sure, he's grew up playing center, and he did it in college, but he hasn't done it since college. He is not really. You look at his snaps per position in the NFL. We're talking like not many snaps at center in the NFL for Connor McGovern. Like, he really has not done it. So again, I'm not thinking he can't. Just believe it when I say. It's like when and actually, I was someone that banged the drum when, you know, he was still a Saber for Sam Reinhart playing center. And my point on that was always, listen, I know he hasn't done it in the NHL, but this dude grew up playing center and did it in juniors, was drafted as a center, and then you put him on the wing, just never looked back, but he played center his whole life. Like, why not give it a shot? That's a hockey center. So this one, kind of the same thing. Like, I no doubt McGovern can do it. I'm just not ready to write it in ink until you actually see him do it in the NFL. 803-0550 is the number. Although, like I said, that's not a major question for me. Otherwise, offensive line, I feel pretty good. Don't we feel pretty good about where the Bills are? Last year it was, who's the right guard? Is Torrence ready to play right away? And is Spencer Brown still a major problem like he was the year before? And then Spencer Brown took a big step forward, and Torrence looked fine as a rookie, and McGovern was good. Dawkins had his best year. Dawkins had his best year. So, and David Edwards, like, left guard, like, I, you know, not that worried about it in the first place. And the dude was a starter in a Super Bowl team a couple years ago. I'm not that worried about it. His PFF grade was through the roof last year, if you care about that. So, offensive line, I feel as comfortable with the Bills as I've almost ever been. Maybe other than last year. Last year, when the same line with Morse, you would have felt a little more comfortable with, but it's not that far off for me. Time out here. When we come back, Nate Geary will join the show. We'll have Joe Marino coming up at 8 o'clock, it sounds like, as well. I was trying to get Joe on, preview some training camp. We were going to have him tomorrow, but I think we might move that up to today. So 8 o'clock for Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, confirming that now. Brian Koziol coming up at 7:30 on the Open Championship. The golf season's not wrapped up, though, because we now get golf at the Summer Olympics. So the Olympic golf coming up later this month. Not that far away either, because the Olympic ceremonies...
Opening ceremonies, I think, are Friday.
Thank you. Yeah, Friday. Friday at 1:30. This week we get Olympic opening ceremonies, and then I'm sure the golf will start soon after that. So we'll let you know the details about that when Brian's going to show in about a half hour. Nate as well. Stay tuned. We'll have a fun show. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to join in on. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.